Colossians lesson 2, chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Today, our study is on the second chapter of Colossians, and we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Previously, we talked about false teaching entering the church, and Paul had to write a letter of clarification so that the believers in Colossae would not be carried away by perversion and leave the sound doctrine. The usual method in debate is taking turns to address speech or point out all the mistakes and then refute them one by one. Paul adopted similar approach in other letters. However, Colossians is unique in which Paul chose a new approach, not being critical but with positive confession of the attributes, work of Jesus and the fullness of Christ. Today's scriptures are divided into three parts. Let's start with the first part, verse 1 and 2, entitled, Hear, O People of God. If you watch the ancient Chinese drama, every time the officer issues the emperor's order or decree, he always say, 奉天承运,皇帝诏曰. It means now the emperor, by the will of heaven, is giving you some orders that need to be carried out. So listen carefully, all you people. Paul began with these words, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, write to you, and so on. Paul speaks very solemnly, saying that he himself was writing to the believers in Colossae as an apostle by the will of God. This means, believers in Colossae, the living God is speaking to you today, and every word here is not by Paul's nagging, but a word from the living God. All must be alert. All must cheer up. Paul was speaking to the believers of his day, but God is speaking to us today through the Bible. You're not just dealing with a Bible teacher nor a cell leader, but the King of Kings, the living God in your midst. Book of John mentioned that Jesus is the Word and the Word of God. Because God is a triune being, He is a real being, right in front of you now. That is, when you're reading the Bible, you're reading about the God who is in a greater position than the greatest authority on earth. What kind of alert attitude do you think we should have? All right, then Paul blessed them. May God bless you also. Let's move on to the second part. Part 2, verse 3 to verse 8, entitled Grateful Hearts, Joyful Affection, Overflowing with Good Works. Paul stated in verse 3 to 8, Epaphras is a very faithful servant of God. He declared your love and conduct to me. I give thanks for that. Literally, the scripture says that Paul was praising the believers in Colossae for being faithful to God and love people. The main focus of these scriptures is in verse 5 and 6. Let me read it to you. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Let me explain what Paul says in Romans about the total depravity of man. If based on the truth of the whole Bible, man is in total depravity, there is no goodness in us. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven. But Paul said, believers in Colossae, you have heard God's revelation to you about the mystery of his creation, the history of the fall of man, and God's plan of salvation. This was the greatest secret of the universe, as what the book of Revelation tells us. But now God blesses you by revealing this mystery to you. You now understand that you who should have been punished, but has been accepted by God as children of his family because of Jesus. We become the people of the living God. This is grace. You believe in God and love your brothers because you know your identity, understand who you are, and see your life on earth as being only a small dot, completely insignificant compared to 99.9% of the time in eternity. Hence, leading you to have a grateful heart, a joyful affection, you just can't restrain the excitement that overflows with love and action. Maybe it is a financial help for the disadvantaged groups of people. Maybe it is the mental caring for each other. Moreover, it is when you share such an incomparable good mystery of heaven and earth that only a few people knows to others. You see, the grace of God is passed on to the others through you, just as it is passed on to you through others. That's what verse 5 and 6 mean. Do you realize the truth that Paul expounded on? Paul wasn't just praising their faith and love, but he wanted them to understand how their faith and love really came about. This is also a very important reminder for us as believers today. Sometimes we love the Lord and make offering. We are zealous. If we depend on God's strength to love and have faith, not by our own strength, then your love will persevere and your joy will overflow. When doing great things, you will not seek the appreciation of man. Your eyes will be on the rewards from heaven instead, and not on the judgment of man. You will not fret unappreciated when you do little things, nor will you feel outcasted when you are ignored. Your love for God is sweet because the hope in the vast eternity of the future and the happiness of being with God have been motivating you. In other words of Pastor Daniel, you know your identity and inheritance. Why young people have peer pressure? Why middle-aged people have midlife crisis? They feel complacent when they're doing well and depressed when they aren't. It's all attributed to an identity crisis. Because we don't know our identity, we don't know our hope, and we don't know the abundant inheritance that we are going to inherit in future. If using Paul's definition in Colossians today, it means that we need to have the right motivation. It is too easy for us to look at people, circumstances, or ourselves, but you have to focus on the gospel, hope, and heavenly rewards. Let me share with you a true story. I know a sister who is very zealous about the church and the members. When she first was a new believer, she loved the church and the missionaries, gave a lot of offerings, bought things for brothers and sisters who were not well off, and donated in many ways. Whenever groups of people went out to eat together, she always tried to pay for the meals. She even planned to sell her car to give an offering for the church building fund. She is a very passionate sister who loves the Lord. Everyone complimented her for her love. But when the compliments were not enough, her heart felt uncomfortable. But honestly, how much comfort can one give to another? No one can ever fully satisfy another person. So she became more and more bitter, resentful, judgmental, and self-centered. Her love could not last anymore because she was serving God by her own strength. There's no peace when doing less and no comfort when doing more. This sister must find the source of contentment and must also understand that the driving force of her actions is not from her own love and self-righteousness, but a grateful heart, joyful affection, and overflowing good works for the gospel. When her focus is on self-righteousness, her focus is wrong and will definitely become bitterness over time. This is serving and loving God by our own strength. But what did Paul say? Your faith, your love, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, the hope that you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Your love and serving need to be motivated by eternity, a grateful heart, joyful affection, and overflowing good works. Let's move on to the third part, verse 9 and to verse 14, entitled Paul's Prayer. Do you remember in the last session that we mentioned there were many heresies influencing the believers in Colossae? Paul's intention was not only to want them to bear fruit in all good works, but also they would know more about God, so that they would not be led astray by heresies. Therefore, he did not cease to pray for them. Prayer shall include four aspects as follows: spiritual insight, act and walk according to the Lord, being full of power, and a grateful heart. Number one, spiritual insight. First, he prayed for the believers that they would understand the underlying message by spiritual wisdom. Today, we behave differently because we know the great mystery of God's creation of heaven and earth, as well as the great reward, joy, and happiness that you will receive in future. You understand God's plan for you, which are God's incomparable arrangement for your happiness and God's vast eternity reward for you. These are the will of God. Part 2, act and walk according to the Lord. So then, when you know that you are a child of God, your behavior, speech, action, and attitude will immediately change in all aspects, because you have to be worthy of your identity, worthy of the blessings that you receive. You also begin to love God. You know that God is so good. You just want Him to be happy in everything. Just like when you fall in love, you buy gifts for your loved ones, as when you see him or her happily receiving the gift, you feel what you have done is so worth it. When you give food to your children, you feel so happy if a little bit of candy make them happy and be joyful. This is the giving with love. So is our love for God. When you know who you are, what you will receive in future, then you will have the love of dedication and you want to be God to be happy. You will do more things that pleases God. Doing good, bear fruit, share the gospel, and love your brothers and sisters. Even in the midst of hardship, you will praise the Lord. Point 3, being full of power. The more you know God, the more assurance you will have. The assurance is what Paul speaks of, being full of power, strengthened with all might. I remember when I was a new believer, God was very gracious to me for a period of time. I felt that my eyes were open, but the flowers, the plants that are usually insignificant, looked so pretty then. I felt what belonged to my Father is also mine. Wow, suddenly my eyes were open. I could see the complex architectural design, luxurious city structures, and colorful life experiences. I instantly felt that they all belong to my Father and they are mine too. Then my heart was filled with a sense of security and assurance. This is what Paul is praying for now. He prayed that God would show us His power, the authority of power. He is the greatest Lord in the universe. The ability of might, the power of God, holds back every nuance of the universe operation. What is His is yours. Usually that sounds like a myth to us. But that is what Paul is praying for here, because he had revelation from God and had mentioned about the third heaven. Hence, his spiritual experience supported his understanding of this. But how many of us here can understand the feeling that Paul was trying to express? Why Paul said you could and should understand? Because the Bible says, in the world you will have tribulation, but in the Lord you may have peace. The more you know God, the more power you will have. It's not an ordinary power, but a supernatural power given by God. So we can have all patience and endurance with joy. All means when someone inconsiderately offends you, all means when someone makes you a loser in a competition by improper methods, all means when you are treated badly for no reason, all means when you don't understand why such things happen in your life, all means when someone you don't like becomes your leader, all means when you feel like you have done your best but life doesn't give you the returns you deserve, etc. However, you can have patience and endurance because you're full of power. Paul's prayer for all the people is to have a sense of security and assurance. Lastly, a grateful heart. Paul thanked the Heavenly Father for us. We have been transferred from the dominion and curse of Satan's kingdom to the kingdom of God. All the past is gone. We are safe and happy in God's hand. Praise the Lord. Hope that Paul's prayer and blessing will be a blessing to us today. May God lead us to understand, digest the teaching in the book of Colossians that give birth to hope. In next week's session, I will talk about the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God in detail. That's all for today's message.